Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
The gospel message, dear friends, is incomparably amazing. Every which way the Bible proclaims it. Whatever you and I might think just unbelievably amazing in regards to people's skills and talents and accomplishments in this life, well, the gospel of Christ is about a matter of historical fact infinitely more amazing, multiplied by an infinite number of times. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable, meaning inexpressible, gift of sending his Son to serve as Savior of sinners. That is Paul's exclamation in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. And I ask you, is this what your and my testimony is too, by God's grace? Continuing with our sermon series in the light of the Bible doctrine taught in the faithful, scripture-based Heidelberg Catechism, coming now to Lord's Day 5, we begin the section of the Catechism that points us more directly to Jesus. In today's message, we learn about him, especially with 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6 before us. There the Apostle Paul declares, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Looking at this scripture and keeping in view to the summary Bible-based teaching as given in Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Day 5, our theme is glorying in the one mediator between God and man. We will consider three main points under this theme. Jesus is this one mediator so desperately needed by us, so supernaturally provided by God, and so infinitely wonderful for us. Every true Christian identifies with the gospel truth that a mediator between God and us is so desperately needed. Over and over, we have learned the last weeks again from Scripture, there is no hope of ourselves ever to be saved from our sins and sinfulness. Almost disappointingly, when you get to Lord's Day 5 of the Catechism, to finally getting into the deliverance section of the Catechism, yet the first questions of that Lord's Day lesson drive home still more. There is only one human outcome for us on our own, and that is everlasting condemnation in hell. Left to myself as guilty, fallen, sinning sinner, God in his righteous judgment must send me to hell. There is no escaping from that. And this is true for all mankind. Unless there would be another whom God could and would approve of on my behalf to make full satisfaction or payment for my sins and sinfulness, and who could offer up to God instead, even in my place, a perfect sinless life before God. Without such another one being found for me, eternal hell is inevitable for myself and for all people born as fallen, corrupted sinners since Adam and Eve rebelled against God. Admittedly, this teaching of the certainty of hell for all sinners unsaved by another, even by Jesus Christ, the one and only mediator between God and man, is not popular today, not in the world, and also, alas, not in the visible church either. But God hasn't changed over time, and his righteous wrath for sin and upon sinners as we are of ourselves remains. The Christian gospel message is all about being saved from the wrath for our sins by a Savior given of God, who saves his people from their sins. But this gospel only becomes and remains most precious to us when we always realize and remember of ourselves on our own, we are hopelessly sinful and condemned forever to eternal hell. Hell is the place where all who come there justly suffer in soul and body God's everlasting punishment for all their sins and sinfulness. In telling of the believers in Thessalonica, Paul writes about them in the last verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. He mentions how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and that they were now a Christian people, waiting for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You see, escape from the holy and everlasting wrath of God against us for our sins and sinfulness must come by another, or you and I will have to suffer it for ourselves. This is basic Christian teaching, but it bears repeating often, because time and again this truth is forgotten and blurred or hardly mentioned and even just negated and denied altogether, even within so-called Christian churches. Very subtly, even in the Christian church at large, the focus and main message can become sidetracked, speaking more about saving the world with this program and that mission. All good in itself, maybe too, but not good without mention of Jesus coming to save us, especially from our sins and from eternal hell on our own. How serious is Jesus' warning in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23, where the Savior speaks of church people never seeing this point, never getting the heart of the gospel message. You and I can get caught up in all kinds of so-called Christian programs and reform movements and different efforts to help others in their needs in this world. And that is not to be discouraged, of course not. But let us never forget the root problem and greatest need is to be saved from our sins and to have a God-approved escape from hell and a God-approved entrance into heaven. Jesus says in Matthew 7:22, listen, many will say to me in that day, speaking of the last judgment day, many, remember, he says, will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, the earnest, all-important point is, dear friends, we need, you and I and all people, a Savior to save us from our sins and sinfulness. Yes, because as the Catechism puts it so clearly, because God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. True Christians, I say, take this most seriously. Do you too? Do you acknowledge personally as well what is taught in the next question and answer of the Catechism, namely that of ourselves never can we make any satisfaction or God-satisfying payment for our sins and sinfulness? But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. You and I sin and fall short of God's glory in everything we do, even in our best of thoughts, words, and deeds. Nothing of ourselves isn't stained with the guilt of sin, and everything of ourselves as fallen sinners only adds mountains of more debt in sin every day again. You and I are the kind of people who on our own can cover for a lie by telling another lie. For sure, spiritually speaking, you and I add to our ruin of ourselves with every remedy from ourselves that we try to escape our just condemnation before God and eternal punishment on our own. Oh, this is painful to confess, no doubt. But God's people, when truly born again and converted to God, know this is so true, as humbling and convicting as it is, surely. Then you know, too, that any other one who could possibly save us from our sins can't be from the animal world or from the realm of angels, nor from any human being born in sin like us all. Though God had animal sacrifices in the Old Testament in substitution for sinners, it is not the blood of bulls and goats that saves sinners, but those sacrifices pointed to the one and only Savior, the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Angels can't save us either, because being angels, they can't truly represent us humans. And angels' power and strength are always limited, far from enough to save us from our sins and to pay the eternal punishment for sin. Other believers can't save us either, or people that we supposedly make saints. For whoever we perceive to be saints are still sinners in themselves, needing God's grace to be saved. This is what also exposes the gross error of the Roman Catholic Church, which falsely declares people to have special saint status from which others may even draw somehow in reaching out to God and gaining a hearing from Him. Most recently, Mother Teresa was so-called made and declared a saint. Well, such teaching and practice is an abomination before God and a direct denial of the gospel of Jesus Christ as the one and only mediator between God and men. How foolish and fatal to look for saving help and remedy from any of these sources just mentioned, for none of them can ever save wretched, guilty, vile sinners like us, you and me. None but Jesus. You see, if there would be another truly to save us, the qualities required of such a deliverer would be just out of this world, so to speak. Indeed, do you know what they are? The qualities of the mediator we need. Question and answer 15 of Lord's Day 5 brings this out when asking, what sort of mediator and deliverer then must we ask for? With the faithful scripture-based answer as follows, for one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God. But I ask, where in the whole vast universe can such a mediator and deliverer be found for us? We do well to question this. And the answer, of course, is found in the gospel message of God, as found in the Holy Bible, including in our text, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Oh, dear friends, praise God triune. There is a divinely provided remedy for us guilty, defiled, hopeless, helpless, hell-bound sinners on our own. And that remedy is found for us in Christ Jesus and Him alone as God-sent Savior of sinners like us, you and me. Before going to our second point now about this mediator and Savior, so supernaturally qualified and provided by God, let me underline what every true Christian learns to confess by God's grace and Spirit, namely, that we are, each one of us, so grievously guilty, depraved sinner in ourselves before God, that nothing and no one short of a divinely provided and qualified Savior is needed to save a wretch like you and me. Oh, how important to get this gospel teaching, which every true Christian comes to learn and realize initially and more in the Christian life. It is a genuine Christian who confesses before God and others, I'm so bad, I need Jesus to be my Savior, and Jesus Christ alone as mediator sent from God above to save the likes of me. Without Jesus, I perish in my sins, and only through Jesus can I, and am I, and will I be reconciled to God, and saved from hell, and become heir of heaven. Well, is this Christian testimony something you identify with, dear friends, in your mind and heart? To further promote exactly this spiritual frame and outlook under the Spirit's blessing, let us consider our second main point now, the Savior so supernaturally provided by God. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This mediator, whom God provided for us, has all the qualities required to save sinners like us. Jesus is God come in the flesh. He is born of the Virgin Mary as true human being. Jesus never sinned either, not in thought, word, or deed. He is the perfectly righteous man. Hebrews 7:26 reads thus, speaking of Jesus, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, more literally, sinless or blameless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Jesus, yes, he is true God and man at one and the same time and perfectly righteous in one person. Jesus is all that by the miraculous conception of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, as recorded for us in Luke 1, verse 35. So Paul also exclaims in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, in other words, beyond all question and dispute, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the wonder of the Christian religion. God has come down in the flesh, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. In Job 9, verse 33, we find Job crying out and reaching for some mediator who is both God and man, that might lay his hand upon us both. But where ever can such be found? Well, God has most graciously and supernaturally provided such a mediator exactly as you and I need. The wonder of Jesus' person as mediator and the glory of his work as Savior can never be fully fathomed by us. But insofar as we can understand it by God's grace and Spirit, and the more we grasp it, there is only reason to say over and over, it's just amazing. Most amazing indeed, eternally amazing, the Savior God has supernaturally provided for us. In the book of Dr. Mark Jones entitled Knowing Christ, he says at one point so truthfully, and I quote, "Without God's disclosure of his plan to redeem sinners, angels and men could have spent an eternity planning redemption, but ultimately would have come up short with any remedy to satisfy God's requirements." End of quote. But what we could never even have conceived in our minds, dear friends, God all-wise purposed in eternity past, and God Almighty provided in the fullness of time. Yes, a mediator so perfectly equipped to serve as Savior of sinners, and most able and willing even to save the worst of sinners. We need, you and I, an almighty, perfect, willing, everlasting, God-approved Savior. And this all Jesus Christ is and more, as the one mediator between God and man. Jesus is the go-between mediator and Savior in view of the greatest problem and deepest divide and chasm ever in all the world. That is, the mediator between the infinitely holy God and the totally depraved sinner like you and me. Jesus is the mediator come to provide salvation and reconciliation between God and man. God himself provides the exact mediator we need. Hallelujah! Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, that Lamb, as Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verse 19 and following, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, speaking to all who repent of sin and believe on him. So also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, we read there God's word saying to us about Jesus the Savior, verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him, that is, it was the desire of Jesus' heart, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Oh yes, this is the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. God has provided the Savior we exactly need. There isn't a sin problem or sinner in need that Christ Jesus, the God-given, God-equipped mediator between God and man, can't and won't fully address and totally overcome freely and completely for all who come to him in faith and repentance. Do you need such a Savior? Who doesn't? We all need such a Savior. Come to him. When God created this world, he thought of every detail for all the world he created, and it was all perfect and good to the finest detail, everything that he made. But even much more so we have to say, when God ordained and planned for the Redeemer to save his people from their sins, what perfectly precise and precisely perfect Savior the Lord has provided. Jesus Christ truly is as our Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus being fully human like us in every way, sin excepted, he can truly represent us, you and me. Jesus being God Almighty too, he can bear in his human nature even the everlasting punishment for sin, otherwise impossible to bear. Jesus being God eternal too, come in the flesh. Oh, his work as mediator and savior, even to the death of the cross, has therefore everlasting merit and never-ending value. Jesus, being the God-sent and God-approved and God-equipped Savior in every detail, oh, there's no question of the full and forever guaranteed salvation found for us in and through him. Glorying in the one mediator between God and man takes place, dear friends, when by the Holy Spirit, with mind and heart, you and I confess this Savior as being so desperately needed by us and so supernaturally provided by God. The Bible teaches clearly there is no other Savior possible either to save us from our sins. No. And doesn't the Spirit-filled Peter say the same in Acts 4 verse 12? There the apostle proclaims, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And again, isn't this what all true Christians believe and confess? It surely is. Doesn't this gospel teaching also make God's people so look to Christ and ever depend on him alone? It surely does. In Leviticus 1 verse 4 and multiple other texts in Leviticus, we are told when an Israelite would bring an animal for sacrifice, the one bringing the offering was instructed to put his hand on or to lay his hand on the animal's head that was about to be sacrificed as a burnt offering. Very interestingly, in the Hebrew, the word for laying your hand upon means literally, quote, to press down upon heavily or to lean on with heavy pressure. In other words, we are called to lean wholly on the substitute offering for sin as ultimately revealed for us in Christ Jesus, that one mediator between God and man. Verse 6 of 1 Timothy 2 tells us how Jesus, mediator, would give his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That is, to be declared and made known in this gospel New Testament age. You see, Jesus, through his life and once for all sacrifice, even to the death of the cross, made absolutely perfect atonement for sin. So John writes too in 1 John 1 verse 7, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. In Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 5, we read the believing bride of Christ, that is God's true people in all ages, are described in this way with this question. Who is this that comes up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Oh, can it be said of you and me that by God's grace we lean, you and I, lean heavily even on Christ alone as our only hope of salvation and the sole mediator and redeemer for us. This is what defines the true Christian, really. To promote further so glorying in the one mediator between God and man, in your life and mine, by God's grace, consider with me our third main point yet, how this one mediator between God and man is so infinitely wonderful. Jesus, infinitely wonderful as only Savior of sinners, for more reasons than we can tell. But just from the context of 1 Timothy 2, notice with me how this Savior is most freely offered to all sinners, over against an all too common idea that the gospel was just for a limited number of people, like just for the Jews. Well, Paul, the God-sent missionary to the Gentiles, emphasized the truth that God will have the gospel brought to all peoples. The one only mediator between God and man, and only Savior of sinners in the world, isn't to be withheld from anyone, but proclaimed and offered to all. Paul speaks thus in our text passage to pray for all men. And God will have all men to be saved, he says, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For Christ gave himself a ransom for all. With this repeated all, the point is not, but won't there be and are there not those that remain unsaved? And doesn't God have an elect people? And did not Christ die for his people to save them from their sins? And only those ordained to eternal life shall be saved? No, but while that's all true, urges the Apostle Paul here, we are not to withhold the gospel message from any person thinking the gospel can't be for someone or just isn't for them somehow. Rather, the well-meant, sincere gospel preaching and offer must go to all people, and never may we withhold the proclamation of the good news to anyone from our side. The faithful church in the name of Jesus reaches out to all with the only good news of the one and only most wonderful mediator and savior, God, for sinners like us. There's only one God and always only one savior and mediator in all the world between God and men. So let the whole world know of this only savior, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Doesn't Paul say this very clearly also in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, proclaiming there in God's name, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When Paul adds to, of whom I am chief in 1 Timothy 1, 15, it's to say, as it were, if God can save a sinner like me, a former persecutor of Christians, there is no sinner beyond reach and hope and salvation in and through him. Let sinners come to Jesus then and find salvation rich and free in and through him, that perfect mediator and savior for otherwise hopeless, guilty, lost sinners like us all on our own. The infinitely wonderful savior not only will have his gospel message declared to all, but for all who come to him in repentance and faith, oh, what a blessed and tremendous Savior Jesus proves to be for all who trust and follow him. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 10b, Paul writes in line then with our text, we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially or specifically of those that believe. Does that and will that include you and me by God's grace? Dear friend, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men? Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.